Hi, good afternoon, everyone. This is Melissa Seeley from CMS. So thanks again. This is the webinar today is focused on the Fully Integrated Duals Advantage Program, and we are delighted to be joined by Dr. Jamel Hawkins, who is the Fidelis Care Medical Director, along with two physicians that are practicing out in the community, Dr. Mohammed Shakai and Dr. Shen-Han Lin. So the program for the next hour is that we will start with a brief overview of FIDA, and I'll be leading that presentation. We do have some slides for that portion of the presentation. I'll be sharing my computer shortly. We'll also be posting those slides afterwards on the Department of Health website. And we also are going to be recording today's webinar, as we're hoping to also place a recording of this webinar on the web for future viewing. But we'll start with an overview of FIDA, and then I will turn it over to Dr. Jamel Hawkins from Fidelis Care, the medical director there, and he will have a conversation with Dr. Shakai and Dr. Lin regarding their experience in serving individuals who are participating in the FIDA program. So with that, I really appreciate everyone joining again. I'm going to go ahead and share my screen. And I should also say, once we, after the conversation led by Dr. Hawkins and the two community-based physicians, we'll also be having a question and answer opportunity, and at that point I will be unmuting the lines and hope that that goes okay. So FIDA is the first fully integrated program in New York, and by fully integrated we mean that it includes all of the major benefits under Medicare and Medicaid. FIDA began back in January 2015, and it is one of the few of such programs across the country. CMS is working in partnership with the New York State Department of Health on FIDA, as well as with 10 other states in similar demonstrations. And FIDA began back in January 2015, and it is expected to run through the end of December 2019. There are, excuse me, focusing on the next slide, you can see the geographic service area that the FIDA is available in. It's available in the downstate region, namely New York City and the Bronx, New York City and Nassau County. Okay, so we're just focusing on the geographic service area of FIDA. It's currently available in the downstate region. We are undertaking some planning to implement FIDA in Westchester and Suffolk as well. Mm-hmm. Individuals who are eligible are adults. They must have both Medicare and Medicaid, and these are full access to Medicare and Medicaid benefits, reside in the geographic area shown here on the slide, and then also need long-term care, and generally that long-term care requirement is 120 days or more of long-term care in a particular year. This slide shows that there are 14 FIDA plans currently available in the service area, so there is a wide amount of choice for individuals who are interested in participating in FIDA. Dual eligibles have many benefits under FIDA, and we are working to mute the phone further. This slide identifies that individuals receive full Medicare and Medicaid benefits, and by that we mean all of the available Medicare and Medicaid benefits, as well as long-term support services, Medicare Part D and Medicaid drugs, as well as additional benefits from a single integrated managed care plan. In addition to those benefits, individuals enrolled also receive access to a wide variety of benefits that are traditionally just available under waiver programs, namely the traumatic brain injury and the nursing home transition and diversion waiver. So getting back to the benefits of FIDA, we've already talked about it. Full comprehensive Medicare and Medicaid benefits, as well as waiver services. There are also many of the plans offer over-the-counter drug allowances. There's a 90-day continuity of care period for individuals to adjust to the program, but there's a longer continuity of care period for behavioral health services and for any individuals who are residing in a nursing facility. They can remain in that facility for the duration of the program. So essentially, FIDA equals Medicaid plus MLTC plus original Medicare or Medicare Advantage type benefits, Medicare Part D, as well as additional benefits. Beyond the basic benefits, individuals who enroll in FIDA have access to a care manager through the plan. They also participate in what we refer to as an interdisciplinary team meeting or a care team meeting to help make decisions regarding their care and understand the goals of their care. There are no deductibles, premiums, or co-pays, no referrals to see specialists, and there is one phone number and one ID card for the related benefits. We'll also talk about briefly there is the extra protection of an independent ombudsman through ICANN. And importantly, individuals who participate in FIDA, they have the ability to cancel their enrollment or disenroll at any time and for any reason. Providers also have received benefits from participating in FIDA. Namely, there's the opportunity to work more closely with providers that your patients are seeing as well through either participation in those care team meetings or through engagement with the care manager and sharing of information about hospitalizations, et cetera. The expectation is that by coordinating Medicare and Medicaid benefits under one particular plan, that would help individuals to access all of the care that they need and have that coordinated such that there is a reduction in avoidable hospitalizations and urgent care visits. And we do have an independent evaluator, RTI, who is engaged to on a formal evaluation to determine if FIDA does indeed achieve those expectations. We would also expect that providers would see a higher rate of compliance with their patients in terms of their care plans, since there is the role of the care manager helping them to access supports and services. And from a provider standpoint, there is one single billing process. There's no need to determine whether a bill would need to be submitted to Medicaid or Medicare. It would just need to go to the FIDA plan. Last year, we implemented a number of reforms to help address some concerns that we are hearing from providers. Namely, there were additional flexibilities introduced for the IDT meetings that providers no longer are required to participate in those meetings, but if they are able to, their participation is adjustable based on their availability. Providers may also review and sign off on the care plans without attending the IDT meetings, and FIDA plans are routinely sharing those care plans with providers in case they want to review and have comments. In addition, we want to underscore that there are no mandatory training requirements. We did have some requirements in place up to a year ago, but those are no longer required. So that is an important flexibility. And if there are other flexibilities of interest for providers, we are certainly interested in hearing that feedback. We also already mentioned the 90-day continuity of care, which generally is the transition period for individuals, but the plans and IDTs do have the ability to approve an out-of-network provider for a longer period of time, and all of the FIDA plans will reach out to out-of-network providers to ensure that they have information about contracting with that plan and can have their questions about joining a plan addressed. I also already mentioned, but worth emphasizing again, that individuals who are accessing behavioral health services or residing in a nursing facility do have an opportunity to have a longer continuity care than the 90 days. As far as payments, FIDA plans receive capitated payments for Medicare's Part A and B and D from CMS, and they receive a capitated payment from Medicaid, and these payments are based on estimates of what Medicare and Medicaid would have spent on these individuals in the absence of FIDA. Providers submit all of their claims to the FIDA plan rather than differentiating between particular payers, and that's an important benefit of participating in FIDA. We want to highlight just quickly that we are testing something really special in New York, which is an integrated appeals process. As many folks know, individuals who access benefits under Medicare and Medicaid have to navigate two separate appeals processes, and sometimes that can be especially confusing if services such as durable medical equipment are covered by both Medicare and Medicaid. But there is an integrated process that takes the most favorable consumer favorable elements of Medicare and Medicaid and consolidates them into an integrated system. And beyond the appeal to the plan, which is the first level appeal, if that it continues to be upheld, providers and plans would automatically have that upheld appeal forwarded to the state for review, whether it's a Medicare or a Medicaid service. The real exception is Part D, which continues to follow the existing Medicare process. There's also an ombudsman known as ICANN, or the Independent Consumer Advocacy Network, which also provides ombudsman services to manage long-term care enrollees. And this is an important beneficiary protection under FIDA, so that individuals who participate do have access to a third-party independent entity that can help them access care, file grievances, navigate the appeals process, et cetera. In the interest of time, I'm going to just skip ahead. This slide summarizes the main points of FIDA. We also have an advertising campaign that is underway. It's running through January 2017, and we've included a few images of some of the print campaign that you may have seen around the city. The purpose of this campaign is to increase provider and public awareness of FIDA, and the information included on these various marketing materials directs individuals to the enrollment broker, which is New York Medicaid Choice, as well as the Department of Health. And it's a multimedia campaign. We want to just spend a moment highlighting it, since individuals who are participating in today's webinar may have seen these particular ads or may see them in the future. It includes audio, digital, out-of-home ads such as bus shelters, as well as print media. And we've highlighted just a few of the journals that these particular ads are being presented in, and you'll see that they're also published in various languages. If you'd like more information about FIDA, you can certainly find that on both the CMS as well as the New York State Department of Health website. And any questions can be directed to the state, as well as myself or Joseph Shunk at the state. And with that, I am going to turn it over in a moment, to Dr. Hawkins. Let me just unmute the lines for that, or at least unmute.
So I was saying that in the next part of the presentation, this is going to be rather interactive between myself and Dr. Sakai and Dr. Lin. And basically, we want to go into some details about how FIDA plan participation has specifically impacted their patient population that they treat. So I was suggesting it would also be a great idea if we could unmute Dr. Lin and Dr. Sakai so they can actually respond and be an integrated part of the discussion.
Okay, so just to start off the discussion, I'd like to know, just for the audience here, about how many of your members, about how many of your patient population are in a FIDA plan, whether it be a Fidelis or another FIDA plan. Dr. Lin?
Hi, yes. So okay. For me, I'm currently a hospital working university medical teacher. So I usually work with patients, and usually on my service, I carry around patients anywhere from 15 to 20, and I always have a couple of, I would say, at least 2 to 3 patients each time with for patients with underfighter or for Dallas.
Okay, great. And do you know, like, the average age of your patients in the FIDA plan?
Average age, mostly would be senior. So I would say usually around 70 years old, usually.
Excellent. And can you describe some of the common diagnoses that they have?
For elderly patient, most commonly, a lot of times, secondary fall. There's mechanical fall or near syncope. A lot of them here for UTI and pneumonia. But I would say almost secondary mechanical fall would be the most common diagnosis.
Great. Are most of your patients ambulatory or are they homebound?
Most of them are ambulatory but need assistance. So they usually either require a walker or some kind of walking device to help them to ambulate.
Great. And do you find that your FIDA patient population has higher hospitalization rates than your general patient population, or is it about the same?
If anything, I think the hospitalization rate for FIDA patients is lower. I think they get better post-hospitalization care and the chance for readmission seems to be lower than the average patient in the same population.
Great. And how long have you been seeing patients that were enrolled in the FIDA plan?
I would say just for the past year.
Great. Do you identify any specific ways that the FIDA plan helps your patient population?
For me, being a hospitalist, I think that for me, it's much more convenient for the provider to coordinate for patient care and, regarding the hospital discharge. The FIDA care team is very accessible, and things always solve the problem, whatever the obstacle for the discharge was, and it was always taken care of.
Great. Do you feel like being a FIDA member actually helps improve the patient's compliance with medications and with your orders?
Absolutely. Yeah, I do.
Great.
And let's see, are patients more likely to actually attend their appointments with you and get their prescriptions filled if they're in the FIDA plan?
What was the question? Sorry.
Are your patients in the FIDA plan more likely to keep their appointments with you and get their prescriptions filled?
Yes.
Okay. And then tell us a little bit about your interactions with the FIDA plan, the nurse care managers for the FIDA plan, and how that's kind of either helped or detracted from your practice.
So because of FIDA care, they always consistent care for patients. And there are monthly calls, also IDP meetings, and pre- and post-hospital coordination. Patient overall has a higher rate of medication compliance, and also there's a higher rate of medical appointment compliance. And usually, for example,
Jasmine Holman.
Which find that patients have a higher compliance rate for follow up with their primary care after hospital.
Yeah, don't you have the list of
I gotta go. There's
another sister. Okay, great. Thank you for that response. So you're saying that you do notice a higher follow up after hospitalizations for these members in the FIDA plan?
Yes.
Great. And have you yourself participated in any IDT meetings?
Yes, I participated in one IDT meeting. Yes.
Okay. And how did you find that meeting? Did you think that it was beneficial?
For me, I had one case of where the patient was elderly, critically ill. Family was, patient should go to hospice, but family was still hanging on to the hope that a patient might recover. So, by attending to the IDT meeting and with the help of the staff from FIDA, we were able to convince the family that the hospice care was the best solution, and then also helped to avoid a lot of unnecessary hospital stay and also tests.
Great. So you're saying basically the team approach and the collaborative effort of the IDT in conjunction with yourself really was the thing that kind of helped to, really give the family a realistic expectation of the outcomes of that patient.
Mm-hmm.
Clinical course. Great. Thank you. And then do you have any patients who are in any other managed care plans, such as Medicare Advantage or Medicaid long-term care? And if so, how would you compare the experience with the healthcare of those members to the ones that that are in the FIDA plan?
So I have some other patients with other insurance, and and I do feel like FIDA is more comprehensive, and the staff are more more accessible, more knowledgeable, and they are very consistent with their patient care, and I got phone calls from them, or social worker got phone call from them, and they're working very closely with the staff in the hospital, and it's a very good
excellent. And then just finally to wrap things up, are there any changes that you would recommend to the Department of Health or CMS to allow FIDA to improve itself, or anything you could think that would make the FIDA experience a better experience for your members, your patients?
So I think it's a very good plan, and I hope this plan will continue in the near future. And if anything, I think maybe provider, if they are to be given opportunity to bill for the IDT meeting, and there could be a better platform for other phone calls for the provider to communicate and share documents with the FIDA team. And so it doesn't affect the doctor's schedule too much. And just, a little better coordination of care. And,
Great. Thank you for all your insights, Dr. Hawkins. We truly appreciate the time.
Thank you so much, Dr. Hawkins and Dr. Lin. Really appreciate that input. At this point, again, apologize for the technical issues, but would like to open it up to the group to see if there are any questions either for the state CMS team or for Drs. Hawkins or Lin. So I'm going to unmute the lines again and hope that those who have a question can try to speak above any background. Not hearing any questions. Again, we really appreciate everybody's participation today. We'll be posting the slides on the FIDA website, which is the MRT 101 website at the state, as well as feel free to contact us either at FIDA@health.ny.gov or at my email address or Joseph Shug's email address at the state. So thanks again for participating and have a great rest of the day. Thanks.